Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning, Lee. All right, I got to tell you a weird story, crazy story, strangest story. It's just strange, but it's really a story for our time that really tells where we are in this country. Do you ever stop and wonder, like, mainstream media, what would happen if you just held off and told the truth one day?
Yeah.
What would happen if you were to deviate from the narrative, whatever the cool narrative is at the moment? Because you got a story, man. You're a good liberal member of the media, but man, you got a story so hot. What would happen to you? Well, this is a cautionary tale, but it just really kind of shows where America is. You know how NBC News, well, you know the whole Nancy Pelosi and the bizarre attack on her hammer attack on her husband, right?
Maxwell's magic hammer there.
Yeah. And then the further bizarre incident, learning that he described Paul Pelosi did on the phone with the police on the 911 call, described the man as his friend.
Right.
The wellness check. That was strange. And he sure acted like the guy was his friend when he got there, right? But you couldn't say that because that was a conspiracy theory, you see, and that was a lie and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. And so that, and it was very important for this narrative. Narrative is just a fancy word for lie, to be the correct one going into the election, because we definitely did not want to think that perhaps this man was Pelosi's gay lover or drug dealer or something. So the problem with this was the police video cam in which Pelosi's husband opens the door and doesn't run toward the police because he doesn't seem to feel that he's in any danger from his friend. And he instead turns and walks toward his friend. Well, there's a huge problem with that. That is not the version of events that the Department of Justice used in their affidavit to the court that they swore under oath. You know, like, so if you are lying, that's a felony.
Right.
Like that. Right. So you got this reporter who commits an actual act of journalism at NBC, something we don't see very much. Miguel Almaguer. And he gets the story that not only did Paul Pelosi, you know, turn from the police, walk back into the house to hang out, I guess, more with his friend, who he didn't seem to be very afraid of. Guy he'd been hanging out in the bedroom with before. Even my friends and I don't really hang out in our bedroom.
But, this is true.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's a brave new world. So, so Almaguer runs with this because this is a double score for him. It turns out basically the police and the prosecutors have not only been lying, but he's also flat out busting the FBI and the DOJ in their sworn affidavit. They lied to the court. Their timeline was a lie.
And this reporter is no rookie.
That's a big story. No.
This is a seasoned NBC reporter that has been doing national broadcasting news for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew the name when I heard this and saw him.
Absolutely. And he's regularly on NBC News' national morning show doing the news. His reports end up on all their local affiliates too, right?
Keyword being was.
Was. Fox News just did this story a few days ago. So what has he done here? Well, he has criticized American royalty, i.e. the Pelosi's, at least embarrassed them with his truthful news report. But he's also contradicted the FBI and the DOJ in a way that, you know, if everybody starts connecting the dots here, they perjured themselves in court. Again, that's a felony. Yeah, pretty big get. And it made it past the editors. I mean, it made it all the way up to their national morning show, right?
I mean, it's not like this was like a live feed where they had no control over it. There was no editors or producers involved.
So now he's gone and done it. Told the truth about the number one ranking Democrat in the country and the FBI and the DOJ. What happens to you if you do that? Well, I'm going to give you a hint. You don't get a Pulitzer. You only get one of those if you're the New York Times or the Washington Post, and you make up a Russia collusion story. You get a Pulitzer for that. And you don't even have to give it back when it turns out it's all fake. But what happens when you tell the truth in a way that embarrasses our elites? They disappear you. This is weird. So NBC News yanks the story with no other explanation than that it didn't meet their journalistic standards, probably because it was true. And Al Magar disappears.
Yeah.
He's been suspended, they say. Okay. On the day he was suspended, he tweeted his last tweet. If you look at his Twitter feed, he updated it multiple times a day before that. Hasn't updated it since. Nobody knows where he is. Now, here's the big takeaway, and this should be a bigger story. We now know it has been confirmed. Al Magar's story was correct. FBI lied in its affidavit. The DOJ lied, too. The timeline is a lie. Nancy Pelosi's version is a lie. It's all a lie. Not only did they lie, the police lied, and the prosecutor did, too. Wow.
Where have we heard this story before?
Wow. I mean, that is... you can take the entire justice system and bend it to your will like that? They will lie for you ahead of an election? Uh-huh. As I say, that's like a superpower. I mean, imagine what you and I could do, Lee, if laws didn't really apply to us anymore. We'd have the nicest cars in the parking lot, I'll tell you what. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And, well, you may soon anyway, but...
Yeah, I don't know. So he disappears. Okay, so NBC News... later quietly admits in a follow-up story after the election, oh, by the way, yeah, you know, we got the body cam, we've seen the footage, yeah, the DOJ, FBI, all their version of events that they submitted to the court is in the affidavit and under penalty of perjury. It's not true. That should have been a bigger story. But Al Magar is still missing. Mm-hmm. He's not on TV. Wouldn't they end his suspension? I mean, he got a story right. He's not tweeting. Now, look, I'm not saying they Epstein him or anything. Don't misunderstand. I mean, I'm not going deep into the controversy. I'm just like, why is he in hiding for getting the story right? They like stuffed him in a closet in shame.
Well, for his concern, I'm hoping that basically they just have him vacationing somewhere on a nice island somewhere.
Right. I know.
Because the guy was just doing his job.
I know. And you know what this brings to mind? The computer store guy who got the Hunter Biden laptop. Yeah, he went on Fox News a couple weeks ago and he did an interview. He said, listen, the FBI came to see me and they told me basically to stop talking about this. Stop, giving the laptop out to everyone who will, pay attention to you. Stop it because bad things can happen. Bad things can happen to you.
Gee.
He said that the agent threatened him.
Well,
he said it on Fox News.
That is a threat.
So I'm just wondering if anybody stopped by Al Magar's residence and dropped a similar threat. I mean, imagine. So, but the whole point of this is just to show you the dysfunction in American media. Like, if you've ever wondered what would happen if one of them told the truth on something that's really critical that impacts the Democrat Party, the FBI, and the DOJ, what would happen to them? Well, now everyone in the media knows. You disappear. You just vanish as if you've been erased. You know where they erase people like this?
Where?
Well, all those authoritarian regimes. They just, like, they'll remove them right from the pictures. You know what I mean? Like,
you're
Stalin's buddy, but then you're not. So then all the pictures, they go back and doctor him. Yeah. Okay, it's not that bad yet, but where is he? Where is he?
Not hearing anything. Here's another tangential thing, a story you didn't hear this week. Guess who had a birthday last week?
Who?
Joe Biden.
Oh!
80th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that, the way that the left-wing media and social media love this president, think he's doing such a great job, that they'd be celebrating the fact that he's reached that milestone of reaching 80 years old. Not a word, not a peep, nothing from the White House, nothing from the media.
Although they keep pointing out how old Trump will be.
Yes.
If he were that, because he's going to be just too old, but not as old as Biden.
If Biden runs again in 2024, I heard that he would be 86 by the end of his second administration, if he makes it that long, making him the oldest ever serving president. Ronald Reagan was 79 at the end of his tenure.
And that was, we were told, a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so now we hope Almagar is okay and will be allowed to be seen in public again.
And happy birthday, Joe.
Yeah. So, look, if you want to know why the mainstream media lies, they really don't have another option if they don't want to be disappeared. This is really kind of, I mean, it's a commentary. It's where we are in America. It's very scary.
It's creepy.
It is creepy. And if you think about it, it's a version of what they do to us. I mean, our social media accounts disappear if we say true things. And they wipe this guy clear off the national TV as if that would make it go away. Anyway, I hope he comes back soon.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning. All right, so you don't want to be poor? Get married instead of living with that person. Wall Street Journal with some unbelievable stats on marriage. Median net worth for a cohabitating couple, age 25 to 34, was $17,000. That's the net worth, right? Like what you're worth. Not what you make, what you're worth. Quarter of that, of the 68,210 median net worth for married couples, same age range. Wow. For singles, net worth was 7,341. Now do you see why the Democrats are so darn determined to end marriage? Makes you poor. Anything? Have you ever noticed anything that makes you poor is what they want to do? Yeah, because you'd be more dependent on them. That's why. Every policy of theirs is geared toward inducing poverty and government dependence because they thrive in that atmosphere. Part of the problem, the Wall Street Journal says, and boy, we were talking about this just a few weeks ago, is this mentality where you can't get married until everything is perfect. They call marriage a capstone event. This is how people look at it now. If you build an arch, the cornerstone is the first piece you put in. The capstone is the last. What this means is people see an economic bar they have to clear before they get married. Couples will wait until they have a good job, a car that won't break down, maybe even a house. Then they get married. I'd laugh hearing this. Because I always like that. Oh, if we just get there, we'll be fine. No, it won't. Life will wreck you. Had all those things and lost them all. Once the financial crisis hit. Nothing is permanent. Oh, if I could just achieve the right car and the right... No. So what the Wall Street Journal is doing, I just thought, just brought this up and said, this is exactly what we were talking about a few weeks ago. When I had that guy text me and I darn near lost my mind. He's a good dad, don't get me wrong. I told my daughters not to get married until at least 30 and they have everything perfect and they're financially stable. Why? Why not build that together? And I said, listen, that right person doesn't come along when it's convenient for you. You got to grab it when you get it because you're not going to get it again. That is a rare thing to find that right. But do not let them go, well, I didn't have my bank account in order. Well, you know what? You'd be richer today had you been married the last 5 years. This is one of those myths in our society. Well, we have to live together and we can't commit because why? Well, you have to get everything just right. Where does that come from? Rom-coms? Never going to be just right. I'm here to tell you. There's always going to be a problem. There's always going to be a struggle. There's always going to be an issue that time will never come. Don't let the person go. You do not know when you're going to get. I did a whole podcast on it. Having this conversation with my daughter now. It might be the guy in front of you. I got the most wonderful text It's one of those that'll always be in my mind. I don't just think it's burned there from a guy. And I said, boy, does this guy have it figured out. He said, I met my wife when I was in seventh grade. I knew him right away. And I started pursuing her right then. That's a person who has priorities in life truly straightened out. I said, right there, seventh grade, I started pursuing her. I knew. Wow, you got it more figured out than some people in their 30s. Because these are the things that matter. Pursue things together. Don't let that go. You wait till you're 30, you look around. Not much left out there. It's kind of like doing your Christmas shopping 2 days before Christmas. You got to take whatever's left and you may not like it. So I was on the lookout for that. I said to my daughter, it's easy. The mistake you can make when you're young is thinking, well, you know, now's not the time, but I'll just do it later. No, you don't get to decide that. I'm telling you, truly compatible person who you click with, that is a once in a lifetime, twice if you're really lucky event. You do not get to time it. You don't. You have no say about that. You can't make it happen. It just happens. Or some people don't get it at all. I've got members of my family like that. They just never got it. Good God, grab it. If your car's breaking down because you didn't change the oil, or you can afford to change the oil, or you're living in a crappy apartment and you don't know what you know what? Just cling to each other and go from there. Fight the world together. So much better that way. One of the things life has taught me. So I'm teaching this to my kids now. Be on the lookout. My daughter's like, I'm 14. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Start now. Start now. And when you find that, don't you ever let it go. Don't you ever let it go. You fight for that. Oh, but what if I'm 18? Well, Mom, what if I got married at 20? What would you say? I'd be like, great, fantastic. One of the happiest couples I know, they're still together. I introduced them to each other. He had just gotten out of a relationship, bought a motorcycle, wore a leather jacket. Said he didn't want a girlfriend. I said, oh, I just met your wife. She's in my Spanish class. He was a good friend of mine. I knew him really well. I'm like, I'm telling you, she's your wife. And he's like, yeah, whatever. So I finally convinced her to come meet him. And man, I got to watch them meet. I watched them click right there. They locked eyes. It was over. They're still married today. I got married right after college. You can't time these things. That's a gift. And you know what? It makes you much richer, too, financially. So this whole idea, I got to wait so that I'll be financially better off so I can't get married if I'm not funny. What? Well, that's a myth, and the Wall Street Journal has debunked it. The headline is, moving in together doesn't match the financial benefits of marriage, but why? And again, net worth of marrieds between 25 and 34, 68,000. Those cohabitating, same age range, 17,000. So go ahead and knock that false belief down too. So here's why the Wall Street Journal says that married couples are worth significantly more net worth than people same age, same financial station that are living together. This is actually really interesting and it's significant. $17,000 on average net worth for both of them, cohabitating couples age 25 to 34 versus $68,000 for married couples at the same age range. That's a huge difference. Well, here's why they say that's the case. They interview a cohabitating couple, and they're both saving money. They don't share a joint bank account or joint investments, though. They split the cost of rent and other bills, right? So they're like, we're saving money. We could be living in separate apartments, you know, but we're living together, so we're saving money. Well, that is not enough. And the Wall Street Journal says the reason is that while there are legal and tax benefits to marriage, research suggests the financial security and long-term mindset of those who tie the knot instead of just cohabitating is a powerful driver of wealth. More married couples pool their money, they share savings accounts, and they invest together. And that combining their investments maximizes compound interest can significantly increase a couple's financial prospects. And that's why they're on the same page financially, and that makes a huge difference. And that married people are much more likely to have these conversations around, you know, conversations like what are their financial goals for their financial future? There's something very special and unique about deciding to share finances. Yeah, that is a very intimate thing to do. It totally is. Anyway, I wanted to point that out because that was a big thing we got into a couple of weeks ago after the dad texted me and said, I tell my daughters, don't get married until you're, at least 30 and you have your degree and you've got a good job. And I'm here to tell you, good job ain't going to last forever. They don't. Life changes. You're going to hit rock bottom a couple of times in your life. You are. It's a reality. So, like I said, just go for it. Just get married. Have somebody to face it with. Somebody who's really there, not just on the lease. Which make a huge psychological difference. All right. Speaking of jobs, folks, this is continuing in our society. Remember that when I told you to my horror, and you really had to go to the UK Daily Mail to get the truth on this, that our Federal Reserve is essentially saying, Jerome Powell was essentially saying, look, I had to print $8 trillion for the Democrats. I printed all that money and I created inflation. And so the only way to get rid of that is to raise interest rates, he said. And we're going to have to do that till people start losing jobs. You're going to have to lose your jobs and your wages are going to have to decrease. You're going to have to take a pay cut, either through an actual pay cut or inflation is just so out of control, your money doesn't go as far. So we're going to have to essentially make you poor. That is literally the economic policy of the Biden administration's Federal Reserve. I've been trying to explain this to people for a long time because the full horror of it is kind of hard to really capture. I mean, they decided to go on a printing run. Jim Clyburn, then the number two in Democrat leadership, admitted, yeah, we knew it would cause inflation. We should have just prepared people better for it. The Federal Reserve announces, yeah, the only way to fix the inflation so the dollar doesn't crash and burn along with our economy is to make you poor. Now, so we're going to have to cut jobs. You're going to have to lose your job, some of you, and your wages are going to have to go down. So sorry. But, the Democrats needed to print. There's a lot of McMansions had to be built around D.C. Well, here we have it. Here we have it right here. And I've been telling you that in these reports, these job reports since this summer, we've been losing white collar jobs. The jobs that one member of the family has, usually the husband, not always, but usually the husband has that supports the family. The good, buy the meat and potatoes jobs. I've been in the negative for a long time, since the summer anyway, a few months, I should say, actually, is a better way to put it. So what are they cheering about? Well, I heard, Tara, that we out of jobs. It was great. The Democrats said it was great. No, those jobs are in the service and hospitality industry mainly. It's covering the white collar job loss. Middle class getting killed, which is pretty much the plan of the Democrats everywhere they take over, the liberals, progressives, whatever they're calling themselves in this phase of destruction. Have to eliminate the middle class every time. Foster dependency, make everybody poor. Make everyone dependent on government, and then you got them. That's what they believe. So what just happened? Something shocking you will not hear the mainstream media talking about, and it's a big signal. The ADP jobs report just came out. We lost. See, if you watch the AP on this or you watch the mainstream media, we picked up jobs. It's great. But no. We lost 100,000 manufacturing jobs. Those are the high-paid manufacturing jobs. Not the management one, but the skilled labor. 100,000. Gone. Dang. The only increase was in leisure and hospitality. But folks, there's nothing wrong with those jobs. Those jobs are great. I worked them many times in my life. But those are the jobs people pick up two or three of as second jobs or as desperation jobs. Like, I just lost my high-end manufacturing job, my skilled labor job. I got to find a way to pay the rent. I got to find a way to pay the mortgage. Now pick up two of those. And be waiting tables in one place and, I don't know, taking reservations at a hotel and another job. They'll do that just to keep food on the table. That's not a victory. That's backslide. Also, the goal of the Biden administration, I want to remind you, as we pointed out, Jerome Powell is being very honest about that. The media just censors it. To keep the Democrats printing like they were for their friends. And I mean, you got to launder the money through Ukraine, right? Got to launder the money through Ukraine so we could get back into campaign costs. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to do. We got to print some money. And that means in order to combat inflation, we're then going to have to make you poor. People are going to have to lose jobs, Jerome Powell. He flat out said it. That's their policy. It's who they are. It's what they do. Steve Forbes nailed this. Is the audio on, Tim? Steve Forbes nailed this. and explained this on Fox News. They think that they have to keep you poor. He said this in June.
Unfortunately, the Federal Reserve believes that the only way to control inflation is by crushing demand, i.e., creating more unemployment, making people poor. Let's be blunt about it. When they talk about a soft landing or trying to slow the economy down, that means making people poor. There is a better way. The Fed has done it in the past, and that is stabilize the value of the dollar. But instead, they're going to punish the American economy. We may not be in an official recession yet, but millions, tens of millions of American families feel we're in a recession.
Bingo. I think we've always been in a recession. I think we have. I think they just lied about that, too. And that's what they do. But this is not being explained to the American people. The middle class are going first, and the jobs that are going are the big ones, the important ones, the ones that are family-sustaining. And I don't know where that's going to end. Steve Cortez, who I have a ton of respect for because he has a tendency to get it right, has just declared on his Substack, he was the economic advisor for Donald Trump. You saw how that worked out for Americans pretty well. Has just reported that he thinks inflation has topped out. In other words, it's hit the zenith, and he expects that it should pretty much stick around there, come down a little. But he said, "Listen, don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean prices are coming down. That just means they're not going to go up as fast as they have been. Still going to be crushing for people, even if it comes down a little. I mean, keep in mind, typical inflation is about 1.4% a year." And you're at 7.7. That's brutal. I mean, that's a good 5.5-6 times what it should be. And people can't keep up with it. Their wages don't keep up with it. So again, why do I tell you this? Because we want to live in reality. That's our first goal here on the show. But also to let you know that if you're seeing this go on in your life and your family, you're seeing the struggle, it's okay. It's not you. It's them. They did it to you. There's no shame in this. And I know this kind of thing can eat in a marriage, it can eat in relationships, it can cause a lot of stress in families, it causes all kinds of problems. Understand, you are living through it, it is not your fault. And when they lie, when they spin these reports to make the Democrats look better and hide what they have done to the country, they make people feel isolated, like it's just me. Look, all the jobs gains, why did I lose my job? Because we've been shedding white-collar jobs and good high-paid blue-collar jobs since this summer, and we've been replacing them with junk jobs. In other words, the kind of job that you take temporarily when you're looking for something better. Text rates, hey, Tara, the tech sector announced 52,771 cuts, the highest monthly total for the sector since 2000. So far this year, employers announced plans to cut 320,173 jobs, a 6% increase from 2021, mostly due to cost cutting led by losses in the tech sector. Yeah, when you see those 100,000 manufacturing jobs go, I mean, in a month, whoa, what does that mean? We're not making stuff because people aren't buying stuff. We lie about that all we want, but it's the real deal. Texture writes, hey, Tara. The Fed said inflation is to cool in the coming years. Notice years. Yeah, that's what I was been talking about. Meanwhile, we have been in a recession for over a year. Depression upcoming after 2 years of shutting down what was an energy-independent U.S. Yes, folks, by the way, you just heard Steve Forbes there. Remember, we could fix a lot of this if we would just go back to the Trump-era drilling policies. We could fix a lot of this. The Democrats have chosen deliberately a policy of poverty induction. And there's only one way that ends, and that's we win. We got to win. We got to win more. We got to win better. Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Text rates, this financial situation only increases the divide between the elite and the middle class. Yes, we have this other dysfunctional thing that we do as a society. We pretend it's great. It's wonderful. Everything's going great. Yeah, it's spending's more than life. Yeah, I know. Of course it's more. Because everything costs more. And they act like, yeah, everybody's spending less. Well, they have to. Their spending hasn't decreased much, or it's a little up. Of course it is. Everything's more expensive. Text her, say, Tara, I didn't believe in love at first sight. Then it happened to me. Julie and I have been married 41 years. She hasn't murdered me yet, but it's early. Yeah. Texture rate seats here. We will win nothing with McConnell and McCarthy. By the way, Mitch McConnell already compromising with the Democrats on the omnibus. McCarthy now on the record. He's cool with printing some more money, at least for the budget. And I warned you that would be the case. But I'm hoping we just borrow half the budget. It's about $2 to $3 trillion a year and knock it off with the, hey, let's print a trillion and a half to $2 trillion every quarter like we did under the Democrats. So, yeah, I don't know. It's not good. Texter writes, when your wife is into retail therapy, being married does not make you wealthy. You just have someone else to spend any expendable and otherwise income I get. Texter writes, I told my wife in fifth grade that I would marry her someday. We got secretly married our junior year of high school. How cool. Oh, what a great story. 29 years later, still my heart. You got secretly married? Oh, please tell me more. That is a great story.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I want to hear more about that one.
Yeah. How long were you secretly married for? When did you tell your parents? How romantic.
And how did that go?
Oh, yeah, I'm secretly married. I guess that's better than...
Could
hey,
you
Mom,
imagine?
I'm pregnant out of wedlock. He dumped me. I guess. Right?
I mean, yeah, but like, I mean, I'm just trying to, because, you know, I am a parent.
Yeah.
If one of my children was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, I got married, I'd just be like, what? Like, what do you mean you got married? This would be a longer conversation.
Yes, it would. And you know what? So much of this depends on, okay, like, who did you marry?
Yeah, you have to, you want to make sure your kid's all right.
If the, you know, if it's a really good person, then you're like, I don't even know.
Then you're stuck in that rock and hard place if it's a bad person. Because then you're just gotta, you have to be like, well, if that's what you want. Like, you know, because you can't like, you know, force them to not be together, you know.
One of our managers here had a daughter who's got it really together. Like, she was definitely ready to get married. She got married really young. And he was very hesitant about that. And that was kind of when I first got here. It's been here 8 years now. And it's worked out really well. They are doing great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love stories like that,
I do, too. You know what? And you know what I believe? I think that the mainstream media and the overarching culture, because they would prefer people, the left would, to be single, so they'll be poor, so they'll be government dependent. I think that they downplay marriage and the good stuff about marriage. I love being married. I love it. I love it so much more than dating. I would hate to go back to that. It's not miserable. They always portray it as miserable. I secretly suspect that there are more happy married people out there than anybody would ever know.
Right.
And that there are people who are really happy in their marriages. They are all over the text line. But if you're still listening, I told my wife in the fifth grade I'd marry her someday. We got secretly married our junior year of high school. 29 years later, still my heart. Give me a call. I have so many questions.
Phone line is open.
Phone line is open. The Ingalls Markets talk line, 800-347-1063. Or just text me an addendum.
Yeah. Let us
that's
know.
Secretly married.
That's a really interesting story.
So you'd have been like junior year. That's like 16, 17. I mean, I didn't even know you could do that without parental permission, but I guess they did. What happened? Did you, maybe? Yeah, maybe.
Could you do that in Vegas?
Secretly married. Mom and Dad didn't notice we went to Vegas.
Yeah.
yeah, no. So, I mean, when'd you tell them? How'd they react?
Oh, getting a caller. Might be
How'd it work out? I just think that's really cool. While you're getting that call set up real quick, and we're going to have to do it on the other side, okay, because we're a minute. Please hang on. I want to talk to you. I want to address this caller who's just texted in about your wife. My wife is into retail therapy. Being married does not make you wealthy. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let me stop. I get this text all the time from disgruntled men. I get it all the time. I don't know why you come to me and you complain. But you do, because you know why? You got to get it off your chest. Let me tell you what you do. You don't put up with it. That right there is a deal breaker in a marriage. That will ruin your marriage. You are telling me, and you don't know me. And that's good. You're getting it out. You know what you need to do? Counseling. You need to take the credit cards.
So,
you need to take them. I'm serious. And if she gasps that off, is like, oh, come on, honey, I got to get this for the... You know what? No, honey, we need to go to therapy. We need to work this out. Your wife cannot be on her own independent page in the financial part of your marriage.
So
that is wrong.
we got that caller, but we got
Oh, good. Okay, so we'll do it in the next segment. But to that guy, retail therapy, no. She doesn't get to make her own financial rules. That will break your marriage. You have enough resentment that you were texting me, right? Nothing wrong with that. I get that. There's a lot of confessional text line. No problem. You need to have this out with her, and you need to make her understand this is a deal breaker. This is a hill to die on. She can't do this to you anymore. A lot of times people don't get that out.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.